Tyra Chaf Beis, we are in the middle of paragraph Yud. We're about to start the eighth shir. Unbelievable, Tyra. We went pretty deep in certain parts. I think it ended up being a few extra shirim than we thought, so, but it'd probably be another two. We are in paragraph Yud. On the standard print, it's page Lamed Gimel Amid Beis, in the middle of the right column, the bolded words, Vizeh Bechinois of Uben. It's about three quarters of the way into paragraph Yud. Just one thing, by the way, if you are growing, enjoying these shirim, I know they're a life source. Please feel free to share, put on a status, drop the 5 stars in Spotify. Maybe it'll get a little bit of extra exposure. Again, whoever can grow from them, it's Latayelas. We will just give a summary, just we're in the middle of the paragraph, so high level, try to keep it high level. I'm going to use Rav Chaim Kramer's summary notes from the English volume, just as a basis to help go through it. We'll pretty much read through it. I don't want to expand too much so that we can go right into the text, into the Torah. He starts off to mitigate any decree, a gzeirach, rachmana litzlan, that's going to come on to Klal Yisrael. The tzaddikim play a dual role. First, they are going to minimize towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu on behalf of the people, minimize the sin before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and from HaKadosh Baruch Hu towards the people, they will rebuke the people so that they get the people to come to do tshuva. And with these two ideas, they can bring a mituk in the din. That's going to be the first chaysam, as it were. The Torah is called chaysam b'say chaysam. That's the first seal. The second seal is if they're going to be rebuking the people, there needs to be a relationship between the people and the tzaddikim, and that is going to be emuna. These two seals together allow this dynamic whereby the tzaddikim are going to be able to help mitigate the decree and bring a mituk in the din. That is the backdrop of our Torah, where we are going to build out what it takes to have the proper emunah, to have this relationship with the tzaddikim so that they can mitigate the decree. He goes on in paragraph 3, perfect faith is drawn through the 7 shepherds, through the Shivarayim, within whom are encompassed the leaders of each generation. However, a problem is, in paragraph 4, there are false leaders who brazenly usurp leadership. The only way to counter this brazenness, this azus, is with the azus to kedusha, and this azus to kedusha is found in the sounds of kedusha, of holiness, of crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of anach, of sawing shofar, song, charity. What's going on over here? So here are the people. We want to attach ourselves to tzaddikim. Of course, we would, all else being equal, we're looking for leaders. We want to attach ourselves to the proper leaders. But from our perspective, there's various competing influences and different priorities that are competing for our attention. How do we cut past all of the noise? Now, one idea I just want to mention, if we think about this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu really is Kulo Taiv, Chayka Taiv Letetiv, Olam Chesed Yibana. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants really only to give us good. The ultimate good, like the Mesilas Sharim says, is an Olam Haba. From our perspective, sometimes we lose sight of this. We say Olam Haba, that's the world to come. What's the main world? Where we are. Lahavdil, if you think about a football game, the World Series, and then the winner gets a trophy. But the point is not really the trophy. The trophy is the reward. What's really the ikkar? Working through the game. That's the ikkar. That's really the main event. From our point of view, it's the opposite. We say in Pirkei Avos that Olam Hazeh Domeh LaProzdor, and the next world is like the Traklin. That's like the palace, the house. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us Chayka Tov LaHeitiv. He wants us to live in the house. That's really that's really where the ultimate good is. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up a system where the ultimate reward is where the matzav is created by the person, where the person gets to earn his reward, where he gets to have bailus and ownership of that. In order to do that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, instead of just giving us a track on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, made this world as a hechatimtza, as a hallway, as a path to get to that ultimate good. Well, how do we earn it? By HaKadosh Baruch Hu putting us into a place with a battle, with a 50-50 bechira, with good and bad. Or at least the perceived bad, because everything is coming from the source of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's one of the main paradoxes, or a main paradox of Emunah, is how is it possible for anything that would be Ra to come from a source that's Kuloi Taiv? Where does it come from? Okay, not for now. But if you think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiviyachol as sitting outside this system, there's only Taiv, and then there's a system now that has the perception and the battle of Taiv and Ra and all sorts of competing influences, specifically so that we can ourselves, through our own Bechir, volunteer, our own hard work, break through the system and appreciate the tayv that we would have otherwise gotten, but now we earned it ourselves and it's even better. The truth is that the breaking, once a person can attach himself to kulo tov, that's the true reality, the true MS, everything else falls away and we'll realize that it's just a facade. So we need this azus de kedusha. We need to be able to distinguish and to break past sometimes the negative influences from our perspective seem much more powerful and much more relevant. But that's part of that. That's part of the system that we're in. We also discussed this idea of competing influences, not just the people to the leadership and the tzaddikim, but even in a pratiistic way, the guf and the neshama. So this relates in a nation way, in a klaliistic way, in a pratiistic way. And then we said, okay, so now we have the tzaddikim. The tzaddikim are trying to get the people to repent, and there's going to be cries and azus to kedusha. We want to relate to them. However, there's also these echoes that are created by a person's sins, which prevent a person from hearing the sounds of kedusha, the sounds of holiness. And he goes on, we said that by sighing, by anocha, by crying out to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, a person is able to subdue the evil in himself, and through shimush, through a chachamim, a person's body in the service of the soul through the mitzvahs, a person can subdue the azus of the other side. Now we dug deep in all these things. If you go into the other shiurim, I'm just going to mention almost like a parallel idea, but we talk about using the guf to serve the neshama, to serve the chachamim in the service. I happen to see, I have to go look at the sefer, but I saw an idea this week. It was tying it to Vayechi. But the idea that sometimes there's good and there's bad, and we want to ignore the bad, look the other way. We want to focus on the good, put ourselves into a good headspace, and therefore, Baruch Hashem, we made the right choice. However, that's not mevatel the chayshach. That's not mevatel the negative forces. They could really come back when we least expect it in a different context, when we have less reserves and we have less strength. Really what our avoda is not just to look away sometimes in an immediate way. That's what we have to do. We have to just, you know, sur meira, just get away from the negative and just focus on the positive. But the ultimate goal is really to convert the chayshach. We had an earlier Torah, I think Torah Vav, baki baratzai, baki b'shayv. It's not that we want to grow despite the chayshach and just not lose too much ground. We have to understand that there's different areas of avayda. If you think in a number of different contexts, a person has a life-saving surgery, that's painful. They thank the doctor. A person is exercising and they feel the burn. That's where the growth is. They embrace it. It's not always comfortable. It doesn't always mean that it's easy. But a person can't grow without that. Therefore, they come to appreciate the avoda in different aspects, and therefore the chayshach, it might be in certain ways less uplifting, as it were. A person doesn't feel the light as much in the times of chayshach, but there's no less, chas v'shalom to say, there's no less HaKadosh Baruch Hu and relevance of avoda in the aura of the chayshach. It's in a different realm, and by doing that, a person can mamish convert the chayshach, and that becomes our also. A person also thanks Hashem for the chayshach. He thanks Hashem for the challenge, realizes that it's for his benefit. A person can mamish attach himself to a Kadosh Baruch Hu just as much in the aura of the chayshach. So the guf comes to serve the neshama. It doesn't mean that there's no guf, but the guf comes to serve the neshama. So that's, again, not exactly the idea as you go through the Torah, go back, but the idea of using them, it's one integrated process, not one despite the other. And so that's as far as putting down the azus, of the negative azus, so that a person can be able to hear and associate himself with the azus to kedusha. However, in order to develop this azus to kedusha, how does a person get the azus that's needed to come close to the shiva roim? Through simcha. And we said that simcha, joy, is synonymous, this is in paragraph 9, from going from darga to dagal, from darga to level, nasa v'nishma. And we discussed this in the context, nasa to the Torah, as Nigla, and Nishma to the Nister, we really in the context of Torah and Tefillah, and we started to build a whole structure around Nasev and Nishma, and this dynamic existing at every level, being that nasa is something that we could do, something that we could relate to, and nishma is something that's beyond. And the, through our avoda, at every step in the process, we have the things that we relate to. This, we spoke about this idea in great depth as well in Torah Chaf Aleph, and we describe this process of there are the things that we've conquered, the things that now have become part of us, there are the things that we're actively working on, there are the things that we relate to, but we have not yet made it part of us, we have not yet conquered it, we have not yet worked on it. Those are the things that we strive for, and there are the things beyond that that's not even necessarily yet on our radar. And as we grow, we expand, and we bring more of those outer concentric circles into the middle. And that's the process of Nasa V'Nishma, the things that we're doing and the things that we have yet to do. There's the Torah that we associate with Nasa, and then there's Tefillah, the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the reaching beyond. And a person has to have the yearning to keep on going in that direction and keep it relevant within him as he continues to go darga to darga. And now is where we're going to enter into our part of the text. We're going to bring it back into this into the quote from Sefer Ditznusa that we mentioned all the way at the beginning of the Torah. V'zeh b'chinas av uben maimer v'chatzi maimer. This was the quote, and now we're going to bring this down to this system, this dynamic of Nasa V'Nishma. Ki Nasa Hu Bechinas Nigla. We're actually going to mention seven different pairings now. Rav Chaim Kramer suggests in his note that this is alludes to the idea of the need to have emunah, to have faith in all Shiva Rome and all seven shepherds. Let's read them through, and then the Torah is going to start digging in. It says ki hanase hu bechinas nigla. Nigla would be as opposed to each one of these ideas is going to be something that's a broader category, and then something that's distilled. Hu bechinas nigla as opposed to nister. Hu bechinas Torah as opposed to tefillah. We said that nase v'nishma is like Torah and tefillah, corresponds. Bechinas bara corresponding to bereshis. Bara, by the way, is also a son, but bara, if you look even the word Bereshis is Bez Resh Aleph Shin Yud Taf. We also discussed that earlier. Bechinas Ben compared to an Av. Bechinas Eden Tata compared to Eden Ilah. Bechinas Chachma Tata, which is an allusion to Amuna, sometimes we say, as opposed to Chachma Ilah, which is Chachma. Bechinas Chatzi Maimer as compared to a Maimer. Keneged HaNishma, so these were all of the Nases that we read out, and I read it into it. Nishma Shu Bechinas Bereshis, Maimer HaShalem, Chachma Ilah, Eden Ilah, Bechinas Av, Bechinas Tefillah, Bechinas Nister. You'll notice, by the way, that the order changes. I don't have any good shot in that. It looks to be almost a reverse order. Nister is the last one mentioned, but Nigla was the first one mentioned. But over here, some of them are otherwise out of order, so something we could put on the back burner, maybe we'll discuss later, I don't know. But in any event, ki kol darga neged darga shelamala mimena, we're talking about malamata, above and below. Obviously, these things are not spatial. But whenever somebody is moving to the higher darga, hu bechinas chatzi maimer, wherever he is for now is going to be chatzi maimer. I'll give a couple of examples of ways that I think it helps me think about it. I don't know if any of them are perfect mishalim, but one suggestion, and none of these examples necessarily come only from myself. I've heard different people talk about certain ideas. When you think about something that's more abstract, when we talk about the Ein Sof and the Ein Sof and the development of the spheres, from our perspective, we're taking something that's more spiritual, more ruchnius, more abstract, and then we are distilling it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzamtzem things, into something, the Olam HaMaisa, into something physical, into something that we can relate to in our terms. I heard one time somebody point out that when a person has, let's say, a raw emotion, they're crying hysterically, that might actually be the most accurate representation of what their emotions are, of what they're feeling. When the person calms down and you say, what's bothering you, and they put it into words, it takes a step towards the intellectual. Now it's quantifiable, and now you can relate to it, and you can also address it. You can also deal with it, perhaps, let's say, in therapy. On the other hand, now that it's quantifiable, you're able to convey it to another person, it also is a step removed from actually the truest representation of what it was. Meaning, when it was raw emotion, the person couldn't even describe it. It was beyond words. There was nothing, by putting it into something that was more tangible, it added in a certain sense, because now it's a chefza, it's something that's relatable, but it also took away. Perhaps this is also a tool when a person goes to a therapist, when they want to speak things out. If somebody has an emotion that they can't deal with, when a person puts it into words, It puts it into it puts it into something that can now be dealt with, and it becomes less overwhelming. Okay, maybe people have their own ideas. Another example, I heard the name of Revolbi, but I don't remember. One of the Gedolim, when they used to have a chiddush, something that they were really affected by, something that created a hargasha, something that they understood that they never understood before, they would let it sit and cook, so to speak, for a number of months, maybe even it was a year. I'd have to look back, right, as the person who I heard it from initially, before telling it over, before even maybe writing it down. Why? Because once you write it down, you're almost freezing it in time. You're putting a label on it. When somebody has almost an intuition, some sort of an idea, something that's not limited in the way that you present it, then it doesn't have certain boundaries. Once you put it into words, once you tell it over, so now the information you can compare, contrast, you can plug it in, it's now usable. That's an advantage. But on the other hand, it's going to stop affecting you at a more more inner level. Once now it's articulated, it's written down, it's in a notebook, it's something to be worked with. It's no longer something that's a hargasha, something that changes your perspective and your vision. Now, in our terms also, if you think about an animal can have pleasure, certainly it's instinctive and it can eat, it can do physical things. On the other hand, an animal will never have the actual pleasure. I'm using the example of pleasure because it's something that a person relates to, benefits from, that they have a value. When a person that actually has a pleasure, not just a physical pleasure, of doing the making a hard moral ethical choice, an animal can't have that. V'ilhavdil, the pleasure of having completed a difficult crossword puzzle, Sudoku. A five-year-old does not have that pleasure. They may have the pleasure of ripping it up. The value of a gold watch to a two-year-old, maybe it only has a value if it tastes good in the mouth and it feels good on the tongue. So when we grow from darga to darga, we're actually maturing, we're advancing, we're getting close to a more true, real relationship with ourselves, with our neshama, with the our Ein Sof that's in us, and we get closer. At each level, we relate to it on a more base way, and we get to a more dak, a more subtle appreciation for things as we grow in our avoda. We went deep into this in Torah Chaf Aleph, the idea, we used the example of concentric circles, like of a target board. At every level, there's the things that I do, there are the things that I am shooting for, the things that I have ambitions. I relate to a certain idea, but I have not yet integrated, incorporated, I have not yet made it my own. And then there are the levels that I don't even relate to as an ideal. There are things that are totally beyond me. So over here, at every, and this is the iteration and the process at every level of Nasa Venishma, things that I do, and then things that are beyond me, things that I have a relationship with. And then once I relate to those strongly and I integrate those become Nasa. And then there's the next level of Nishma, until we said, does this ever stop? We talked about in the last year of Tiras Hashem, of Tfilas Hashem, of reaching towards Hesbatlus. Okay, last year we talked about it. So over here, Kikol Darga Neged Darga Shalamal Menu Hubachinas Chati Maimar Kmo Av Shemedaber. If you think about an Av, think about a teacher. Somebody gives over an idea, Medaber Maimar Hashalem. That's the full complement of the idea in its full strength. Ukhishib Naya Katim Medaber Achrav. Now somebody, the Talmud, the son, goes and conveys it afterwards to Medaber Rak Chati Maimar. We have an idea of Yuridas Hadairos. Yuridas Hadairos. Are people not smarter now than they ever were? Are people not more advanced, more technology? Well, leaving not to get into the full discussion, but if the people that were at Har Sinai, Mamish had an experience. We know that they heard the first two dibras from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They Mamish expired and they came back. Then they heard from Moshe Rabbeinu, Shechina Medaber Mitach Groinai. The Tanam, the closer that people were to Sinai is the closer they were to the full Maimer. And as it goes further, even if the information is conveyed and even if the chain of Masorah is unbroken, leaving aside, well, you know, how Machleksim developed, all that. But in principle, the closer you are to the actual source, the closer you are in each level, a Maimer versus a Chatzi Maimer. The Kikol Darga Neged Darga Shalamala Mimena Hi Bechinas Chatzi Maimer. Every level compared to what's above it is something that is going to be, in these words, half. Now, I don't want to say half like as though you're missing information. Maybe it's not accurate, but even if the entire thing is filtered so that it's Mitzamtim, in other words, it is an accurate representation. We've used technology before, like, you know, let's say computer code, and then what's on the screen. What's on the screen might be a beautiful image. It's something that we can relate stronger to, but it's not as true of an expression as what's actually in the code. If there was a bug or you had to fix a real problem, you'd have to dig into the code. That's actually what's going on. Further, all people, the chayos and animals, va'ifais, birds, tzmachim, plants, v'kol dvarim shebzei olam, and everything in this world, heim rak b'chinois chatzi maimer neged ha'olam shelamala mizei ha'olam, ki heim rak remozim l'dvarim ha'gavoyim mehem. Everything in this world is like a remez of something above it. I think what he means over here is, again, there's two ways to view a half. You could view a half as, you know, I have a black and white cookie, I took the black half and I left the white half on. There's something that I'm missing. Another way to look at it is it's like a filtered version, but everything is represented. So if a person, the light that was too bright to look at, and then you put it behind some sort of a filter so that you could look accurately through the lens and see it, you wouldn't see it, you wouldn't be able to relate to it in its full strength. It would be only half of the light that's coming through, but it would be an accurate representation. If you have leverage, just the idea of creating leverage, think about if you have, let's say you're holding on to a long stick, so I flick my wrist from holding it horizontally to holding it vertically. How far is that? 3-4 inches. When I turn it, let's say the stick is 10 feet long, that stick might have just moved, you know, how many feet in the air from the other tip of the stick being in a horizontal position until I flicked it all the way up to go upwards in the air. You can have small movements that have large implications that are totally accurate and representative of what you did, but they have a different expression. So everything that we see here in the world is a more base, a more lemaisedic expression of something that's going on far above us. Histako baraisa bara alma. Everything is within the blueprint. And we already quoted, Mibsari Echzelekad. There's a certain tzura to the world. That tzura represents itself in the Mishkan. That tzura represents itself in an Adam. And we have our limbs, we have our sinis, Ramachivarim, Shasagidim. This is corresponds to the positive mitzvahs, to the negative mitzvahs. There's a corresponding element to the Bria, to the tzura of the world that we strengthen, that we give kiyum to when we do our mitzvahs. The world operates according to a tzura. The remez, what we see in the lemaisedik way, we have the ability to create leverage to affect things far greater than us in the world. A animal does not have that ability in a certain sense. That's why people are more powerful than malachim. We have the ability to affect that leverage, and a malach doesn't, because we have this bechira. Now, in a way, it's a huge bracha that we specifically do not realize the unbelievable power that we have. Otherwise, we'd be blown away. We wouldn't have any bechira. We would just be floored. The fact that we walk around in the world as it presents itself to us allows us to go about our daily lives and still have the choice between engaging in Kedusha or Chas V'Shalom on the other side. V'chein mei oilam la'oilam, this what we're talking about exists at every step, at every oilam, at every part of the process. The same way that the abiyah, atzilas b'riyah tzira asiya, whatever is in this world connected the next world, also that exists in the next world to the oilam on top of it. It's not just that there's gashmias and then everything else. This process is at every stage. V'chein klolias habriyah neged koidim habriyah. The HaKadosh Baruch, there was Arein Sof, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kevyachal had a rutzen to and wanted to create the world, the expression of the world. When mikayach elapayel, also that means that the bria was chatzi maimer, b'chinas chatzi maimer keneged whatever rutzen Hashem was. It's hard, I don't want to put into words to create the world before that. Ki ikar shleimus. The be'ein saif v'sham hu b'chinas maimer shalem. The ikar shlemus is to have a zbatlus with Hakadosh Baruch Hu. That is the most all encompassing. It's hard to put into words anything that we talk about ein saif in our ein saif, but the only most truest representation is the source, the neshama of the neshama, the source of the source, the ultimate origin of anything that comes afterwards that gets brought mikayach elapayel. Everything is encompassed within that, and therefore that is the truest. Everything after that is a more distilled representation of it, and therefore the klolius of anything within the bria is going to be chatzi maimer vis-a-vis the ein sof. V'zeh bara shehu klolius habria hu chatzi maimer neged bereishis. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us the Hakadosh Baruch Hu created the world in 10 ma'amaros. Where's the 10th one? It only says vayomer 9 times. The 10th one is bereishis. Different ways of understanding the Maimar Chazal. One way is that it's time. In order to create, you have to have it that something didn't exist before, and now it exists. That's what you created. You brought it into the system of Bria. So there has to be a timeline. We spoke about this at length in one of the earlier Torahs. But also that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, as far as creation is concerned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it b'koyach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in that there should be the hechatimsa that things should be in the bria and unfold from that. Bereshis represents the bria b'koyach, shubachinas koydem habria. That is that the world, it's like, I think the Rashi tells us already that everything was really created on the first day, and then it only came into being subsequently. Bereshis represents tefillah. Tefillah is something outside the system. There's a system of nature. When I want to daven, I want to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tefillah. I'm asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person chas v'shalom is sick, a person needs money. I'm asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring something in from outside the system. If things just go on the regular progression, on the regular momentum, it's going to be like this. Am I asking for nisim? No. The more that I relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a real way, is that really any different from asking my father, brother, mother, sister, boss for something? I need an injection of some sort of shefa. Person needs, they don't have enough parnasa. They ask somebody to inject extra parnasa. It's not an ace. They're asking for somebody to give them something. So now I'm asking a Kodesh Baruch Hu to give me something that I don't have. But that's bekayach. That didn't come into the Bria yet. We're establishing this framework where tefillah is bekayach. Tefillah is something outside. Tefillah is something I'm yearning for. Tefillah is the nishma. And Torah is bepayel. So over here we say bereshis is that first framework bekoyach, the first idea that there should be a bria, and then everything afterwards is bara. It unfolded into the bria. There's tefillah, and then then there's Torah. Torah represents bepayel. Tefillah represents bekoyach. The relationship outside to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the grasp, the yearning. So. That is a Maimer Shalem, and then the things that unfold from that are a more distilled idea and a more distilled version of that. That's going to be Bepayel. K'may Bereshis, Yarei Baishes. Bereshis is, if you rearrange the letters, it's Yarei Baishes. Rav Chaim Kramer points out a person who has a relationship with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He applies to a person who fears Hashem because of his greatness and awesomeness. Such a person is embarrassed of his distance from his inconsequentiality vis-a-vis Hashem, and therefore prays to draw closer to him. And when we say that we're inconsequential, a person is very relevant. We just said a person is more relevant than Malachim. But why? Because Shluchah Shel Adam Kamoso, we make ourselves a Shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mevatel HaRatzon. Hashem gives us the ability to have leverage over things that are much greater than us. Therefore, that's our relevance. But us on our own, with our own Ratzon, before we make HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, we align ourselves with Hashem, so then we don't have our own individual relevance. The relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bereshis, Tefillah, Yarei Baishes, or understanding our position, our relative significance vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, really we're only relevant in as much as we're mevatel ourselves to Hashem. That's Shita Tefillah. Bechinas Yiras Hashem Hi Tishalal. Tishalal is Lashon of Tefillah, Shu Maimer Shalem. Yal Kain, Emuna Nikra Yerushalayim Kanal. We mentioned earlier, Chachmila, Chachmatata, that Yira goes down to Emuna, comes from Yira. Emuna is really the Chatzi Maimer from Yira, from this relationship from Tefillah. We're going to associate Yerushalayim with Emuna. This is going to be the Chesem Chitzon, the Emuna that we need to get close to break through and establish relationship from the draw Emuna from the Shivarayim. This is going to be the outer Chesem that we spoke about earlier. Valkein Emuna Nikra Yerushalayim Kanal. Yerushalayim is called Kirya Ne'emana, Al Shem She'ikr Binyana Mi Bereshis. Yerushalayim really comes, its binyan comes from Bereshis, Shehu Bechinas Yira Shalem. Bereshis, we said, is Yira, Yarei Baishes. Yerushalayim is Rashi and Chumash explains that the word Yerushalayim comes from Avram Avinu, said Hashem Yira, Vayikra Avram Shem Amokom Ahu Hashem Yira, and Shem Malkitzedek, he's called Melech Malkitzedek Melech Shalem. So we put those together, Yira and Shalem. Yira, even though it says Shem, we'll see, is also the same letters of Yira, of Yerushalayim. So Yerushalayim is representative of Yira Shalem, complete Yira, Ki Taman Yira. Over there in Yerushalayim is Yira, Taman Shalem. Over there, there is Shlemus, Ki Ein Machzor L'Reyav. There's nothing lacking. There's only Shlemus to Yireyav, to those who fear Hashem. That is the truest perspective. Of Victor Miller Zatzal, I think, says that Yira and Ra'a, to see. You see clearly, you really understand your relationship with Hashem. That's then necessarily that involves Yira. So it says Ki Ein, that Yerushalayim is a Bechina of Yira, which is a Bechina of Bereshis, of Yarei Baishes, of Maimer Shalem, Ki Emunahu Meharayim. Because Emuna, we said that Yerushalayim is Kiryan Emuna, Emuna, it comes from the Rome. We draw Emuna down from our relationship with the Tzadikim Kanal, like we said before. from getting close to the Shivarayim were Zoicha to Amuna, Ula Rayim Yevshalis Karev Kimayide Azus Kanal, were unable to get close to the Rayim, to the positive leadership, we said, without Azus Kedusha, without breaking away and putting down, we said, through Shimush, they were able to put down the negative Azus, the negative influence, were able to break away from it, and then we have to use Simcha to get close to hear the Koil of Kedusha for the Azus to Kedusha. That's what allows us to get close to the Shivarayim. Ula Azus. How do we get the Azus? Through Simcha Kanal. The idea of Simcha related to the process of Nasa V'Nishma, Shehu Bechinas Toiru Tfila V'Chulu Kanal, the process of Nasa V'Nishma, of Toiru and Tfila, that is a Bechina of Simcha. Simcha is what gives us the Azus to Kedusha, that we break through the negative forces so we can get close to the Shivaroim, so we can draw down Amunah. Ach Iker Shleimus HaSimcha, not just the process of Nasa V'Nishma, but Nasa is what we have. The process of Nasa V'Nishma, the Nasa is where you are, is really focused on the Nishma, on the process. Not just the Torah, but the Tefillah, the relationship, the yearning to go beyond where you are. Hu al yedei yira. The Simcha comes from yira. Ki v'gilu b'ra'ada k'siv. The Pasuk in Tehillim says, v'gilu b'ra'ada, rejoice in your trembling. Hainu, Ikur hagila v'hasimcha hi al yedei tefila. Now, just to stop for a second, v'gilu b'ra'ada, the Gemara says, v'gilu b'ra'ada, how can you, why do you need both? So the Gemara says that a person needs to have a certain amount of yirin simcha so it doesn't get out of hand, but we're asking a deeper question that the Arvei Nachal explains. How do you pashut have these two things go together? They seem to be opposites. How can you have simcha and yira if you're in awe, then your mom is trembling, then you're not besimcha. If you're simcha, you're happy, you're having a good time. The example that we've given before is you have a 5-year-old sitting on the Gadol Adar's lap, and he says, we are great friends, maybe on his level, but that relationship of getting a candy from this Rav, from this Gadol Hadar, if I told you that a yeshiva bachur, a kol yonga man, or an adult, in the entire scope of his relationship with this Rav is that he gives him a lollipop and this person is the Gadol Hadar, he would say, no, that's not the relationship. I want a deeper relationship. But the depth of the relationship comes from his understanding of who this person is and what he represents. So the more that there is a yira, the more that there can be a true Ava. Think about a person's hero, his idol. The more that a person is removed from that and they hold that person on a pedestal, the more that they want to get close to them and they realize how meaningful the relationship is, and the more if that person has some sort of an interaction with them, the more that they ultimately appreciate it. If there's no Yira, so then we go back to our lollipop example. Even the Ava from having the relationship is limited. Ava and Yira have to go together because the depth of the Ava is the depth of the understanding of the relationship, and the truest understanding of a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is based on Yira. But if there's only Yira, so then that's standoffish, but Yira would be a repellent. Ava is getting close. The Ava is the desire to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the depth of understanding how much you want to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is recognizing the gap between you of Yira. Baruch Hashem, we have Avinu Malkeinu, so we know that we have a primal, at our core, a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we can get past all of that. We could tap into it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to give him nachas, b'ni b'chayri Yisrael. But the Ava and Yira be'etzem go together. The more there is a Yira, the more that the relationship is appreciated in Ava. The more that we get close, the more of a revelation we understand that the closer you get to the mountain, the higher that it looks. From the top of an airplane, the mountain doesn't look that high. The closer you get, the higher it looks. The more there's an Ava, the more you get close, the more there's Yira. The more there's Yira, the more that you want to get close. And the Parparas L'Chachma explains that this Azus to Kedusha that comes through Simcha, that the Simcha is the Bechin of Nasa V'Nishma, the Shleimus of Simcha is really based on the Nishma, is based on the Tefillah, then that Simcha, this Gilu Bara'ada, the Gilu, the rejoicing, but the Simcha, the feeling of satisfaction, the feeling of attainment, that comes from the yearning, from the accomplishment. Think about any person that accomplishes something, that has the satisfaction, that has the simcha of having attained something. That's because there's something that they want to attain. That's because there's an ambition. There's something to strive for. There's a feeling of accomplishment. There's a I don't know the source of the statement. I think I've seen it before. Tainug tamidi einan tainug. A constant pleasure is not a pleasure. A person goes and they're very cold. They go into a warm room. When they originally feel the temperature change, they feel, the warmth. They're around the fire. Then they get used to the temperature and they no longer feel that change. The more that something is constant, a pressure. If you push something, then you feel the push. If you just hold it against it, so then it's constant. You don't feel that impact of the pressure. We're going to speak soon about the idea of Yuridish Hilitzayar Chalia. If a person would have just be in a constant state, we spoke about Malachim, then there's no idea of growth. The idea of growth means that you're moving up in levels, but the only thing that can inspire growth is dissatisfaction. This is a profound, we could talk about just this idea for the rest of the shir, and we will go deeper into this idea. In order to grow, in order to have simcha, in order to have yearning, there has to be wanting to be growth. In order to have growth, there has to be something that propels growth. There has to be chayshach, there has to be wanting to get closer. We didn't go so much yet into this idea. So for now, we only spoke about the idea a person could always be going in the same direction and going ever higher, although yesterday's light is tomorrow's chayshach. If you're getting close, if you're going higher, so then the higher you go, the more that you realize that where you were yesterday is low compared to where you are. And we're going to go even deeper into the idea of Yerida Shilitzara Chalia, what inspires growth and dissatisfaction. This is a total reframing of the process of Avoda. Nimsa She'ikr Binyan Ha'amuna, the Iker Binyan of Amuna, which is the Chaysem Yadayin. This is the outer Chaysem. This is what gives a basis for a relationship with the Shiva Roam, the Amuna that will allow the Tzadikim to go be Mavat Legzer, which is where we started our Torah. Shibachinas Yerushalayim Kiryan Amuna, which is represented by the idea of the Bechina of Yerushalayim of Amuna, which really comes, it's based on Yira. Zoichen Al Yidei Tefillah. This all comes from the process. Maimer Chatzi, Maimer Amuna is coming from Yira. Yira is Tefillah, is Yorei Boshes, is Bereish, is being mevatel oneself, going all the way up towards the Ein Sof, and this process continues. Shubachinas Yira, Bachinas Maimra Shalim, Kanal, everybody on their Madrega, continuing on this process that just keeps on going on. Vial Kane, Nikre, Samuna, Yerushalayim, Shu Yira, Shalim. That's why Yerushalayim is representative of Amuna, because Amuna comes Yira, Shalim. That is the truth of the relationship of Amuna, of faith. Ki Iker, Bin Yona, Al Yidei Bachinas Yira, Shubachinas Maimra Shalim, Shubachinas Bere. The Yerushalayim is Emuna, is the statement, the expression of a full Yira will represent itself in Emuna. And that's what it says. Eidus Hashem is trustworthy, is Nemona. Eidus Hashem, Shehem HaAdayim, these are the crowns, the Nasiv and Nishma that we mentioned before, Hanal. Ne'mana al yada nivnes emuna, through the nasev nishma, through the tefillah, the second for both crowns, that's where we get simcha, azis, kedusha, that's where the emuna comes from. All of these ideas get brought together through the process of nasev nishma. V'zeh misham roya even Yisrael. It's a pasuk we just had parshas Vayechi, very timely by the Berachas Yosef. It says the pasuk says Vayefoz roya yadav midei aver Yaakov misham roya even Yisrael. Based on Rashi, it says that Paro put the ring onto Yosef, and Yosef supported Yisrael, and it says Even Yisrael is a notricon. It's a contraction of Uben, because Yosef was Mefarnes Yaakov and the Shvatim as well. V'targumo of Uben. V'zem Maimer Hashalem Shu of Uben Kachada. This is in line with how we've been explaining it, but he's coming to say, until now we said that there's Avu Ben, there's Maimer Shalem, and then there's Chatzi Maimer. I think that we sort of read a little bit of this in, foreshadowed where it was going. Let's just see his point. Ki Chatzi Maimer hu Bechinas Ben Lechud, aval Maimer Shalem hu Avu Ben Kechada, ki Shom Nichlal Hakol. It's not separate things. The idea of something Bekayach, maybe not in the way that we relate to it, something Bekayach is potential. We would say maybe, well, you don't have anything. It's like when a teacher tells a kid, a parent, oh, the kid has a lot of potential. You know what that means? The kid's not doing anything, right? But that's not really, when we say that something is bekayach, it's inclusive of what comes after it. So the way that even we just described the idea of Yira, of Yira Shema, of Yira Shalem and Emuna, something that's broader, something that's Beratzon, actually it's more limiting when it becomes actualized. So now that potential has been put in a very specific way into a Payal. So that's the idea that now there's an expression, or going back to the way that we said when a person takes raw emotion, now they put it into words, the raw emotion was inclusive of how it ultimately became manifested and how it became realized. So it's not really two separate things. The chatzi mimer is just one expression of it. That is a smaller, so to speak, a more narrower version. But the mimer shalem, the bekayach, the broader idea, was actually encompassing. That's what we see from Evan Yisrael. The Ben is the Chatzi Mimer, but the Evan is the broader Mimer is really Evan. It's Oven Ben Kechada. It's one idea. Kisham Nichol Kol. In the Av, it actually includes the Ben. The Nishma includes the Nasa. The relationship that we're reaching beyond includes what will ultimately come of it. And through going, we madre. Regla Madrega, Nasev and Nishma, and continually going up, a Bechina of Evan Yisrael, of Avu Ben, but going the Oven Ben doesn't mean going just from the Ben to the Av. When once you go to the Av, it's inclusive of the Ben together. You reach the Maimer Shalem, and then you realize you're going from something that's partial into what was inclusive of it, and then you go to the next level. Now what you have is actually partial compared to what was inclusive of that. That's how you keep on going until you reach levels and levels of simcha, and from the level of simcha, of satisfaction, of attainment, of reaching above and beyond, that's where a person is able to achieve azus to kedusha, to attach to the shivaroam, to get a muna, to have the outer seal, so that the tzaddikim can ultimately, we said, be mevatel gzeiros, yachal lavo lebechinas royam kanal. That's the Roya Evan Yisrael. Now it's attaching the Evan, which is Avu Ben, the process of Nasev and Nishma, to the Roya, to the Shivim Roem, because it's through the Simcha of the Nasev and Nishma process that a person gets Azus to Kedusha, that they attach themselves to the Royim. Okay, now we are about to start paragraph Yud Aleph. You're going to have to hold on to your seats. We're going to try to take it a little bit slow, but we're going to say things that are unbelievable, that are worth chazring over and over and over again. Ach, kisharoitim latzeis mi madregas nasa v'nishma zeh. Person has engaged in the growth process. He went through the nasa v'nishma. He was someplace. He had an ambition. He grew. And now he's incorporated that. Now he's in another place. And now he wants to continue on to the next stage of growth. And he goes from nasa v'nishma zeh l'madregas nasa v'nishma gavoya mimena. Now on to the next phase. Nasa v'nishma. It's a bechinas of Kabbalah Satayra. He's going to become a kli. He's going to receive. He wants to get to the next level, closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tzarech lios yirida kaidem ha'aliyah. It is necessarily so. Part of that process, like in the physical world also, if a person isn't going to throw a ball, they're going to wind up. If they're going to, comes up in the Gemara Makkos, a person is going to swing an axe. First, they go down behind them, right? There has to be a wind up. A person goes down in order to go up. Tzarech lios, it's necessarily so. It's built into the system that there's going to be a yirida kaidem ha'aliyah. We're going to talk about this a little bit because it's just so unbelievably important. The next words, ki ha'yiridi hitachlis ha'aliyah, we'll come back to that as well. So I'm going to quote a little bit from Likutei Halachas in a minute, but you know, when we have these concepts, these yisoidistic concepts that somewhat abstract, somewhat hard to grasp, we'll try to also speak about it, maybe give a few mashalim, try to give a point and a taste, remuzim, like we were talking about before, so we can really get a full flavor of how this comes out within the human experience. So one idea that we've talked about is not even necessarily a yirida, but it's a perceived yirida in terms of how we relate to things on a relative scale, meaning a person is in eighth grade, they're at the top of the school, and they have a certain level of bias. When a person has a certain level of being on top of things, then they're going to relate to growth in a different way. They'll be topped out. They have a different avoda, even if you talk in terms of birth order. Somebody who's the oldest in a family might have a certain leadership position. You might treat your five-year-old, when he's the oldest or she's the oldest, in a certain way. And let's say a person has several children, and now the youngest is 5 years old. Maisa b'chol yom, when the oldest is 5 and then the youngest is 3, you're telling the older one, give the other kid the toy, take care of this one. There's a certain leadership responsibilities. When the oldest is 10 and then the younger one is 5, so you're not treating the 5-year-old all of a sudden as the big one. Now you're taking the 10-year-old and telling them to give it to 5. It's actually something that people have to be very conscious of, totally other discussion, right? Not to let the older one not have the benefit of being the kid, and not to let the younger one constantly never have the responsibility of having to give. That's a totally separate discussion, and just really rush a prakim. But the idea that I'm mentioning is there's a certain way that a person relates to avoda, in this context the kid, when they're the older one, they're the one on top, they're the one who's sort of at the top looking down versus the bottom looking up. So you take a kid, they're in 8th grade, and then all of a sudden they go into high school and they're in 9th grade. They become a 12th grade, they're a senior, and now they're a freshman in college. And when a person is ready to graduate, they're ready for an aliyah, they have to start again at the bottom. Are they, when they're at the bottom, are they lower than they were originally? No, in this way that we're addressing it, that's not true. However, there is a yerida because all of a sudden they feel, they felt like they were on top of the world, and now all of a sudden they feel like they're at the bottom of the mountain. That's one idea of graduating and rising in stages. The Likutei Halachos over here says that a person who is going to have a Yerida before an Aliyah is going to go through Nisyainais. The truth is that Nisyainais, the Likutei Halachos, if I mentioned Erev Tchumen, Dalet Zayin, but let's think about what a Nisayan is. We have the Ten Nisyonos by Avraham Avinu. A Nisayan, a Nais, is a flag. A Nisayan is something that brings me Koyach El Apayel. The people say that a person never gets a nisayin that they can't pass. Now, does that mean that a person is going to be successful in every single thing that comes up in life ever? Not necessarily. But what we're really talking about is nisayinais. The idea of a nais is specifically that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives a person a hechatimsa, a context to bring a nais, to go mikayach alapayel, to bring out a certain strength, so that way it makes it real. When if a person has, you know, 10 things that they want to accomplish in life, 10 things, that's overwhelming. If you take them one at a time, once I take one and I grow through that one, I can address the second, then I can go all the way up to the ladder. Why? If I had those kaychas inherent in myself, what's the difference if I actually grow, if I actually go up in the rung? Why can I just do it all at the same time? The answer is that as a person brings things to me, kaychah lepayel, they grow, they expand, they make it real, hergel nasa teva, they bring it into their experience, and now they can go weiter. So nisyonos are there for growth. On the other hand, nisyonos are opposition. Nisyonos are uncomfortable. When a person, excuse me, is in a period of nisayin, a lot of times they feel chayshach. They don't feel like they're in the light. A person, in order to grow, has to have a yerida in the context of nisyonos to be able to go midarga ledarga. When a person has that, they can get bigger, they can get stronger. Now he goes on over here. He says, "Vayiridi bechinas nisyonis v'tzirufim." Tzirufim is the purification process. He gets pushed. It brings out the best in him, and that brings out the next nasa v'nishma, the next kabbalah hatayra mechadash. And he says, "Ki harbe naflu al yidei yiridasam rachmana litzlan." During this shas yirida, it's be'emes b'sakana gedayla. I'm not reading the entire thing. There's just so much over here, but I'm going to try to paraphrase, and I'm paraphrasing in the way that it makes sense. That it's hitting me, and people may have a different reading and a different take on this, but I think that these ideas are very important. So he says over here again, a person goes through this process, they're in a be'emes, a sakana gedayla, and many people actually fall totally. A person has to be careful, shal yipo legamri chas v'shalom. Now this seems very strange. In other words, instead of thinking about being on a cliff, you know, think about a person's on a slope. So I go a little bit higher. Now, if I fall, I'll fall from wherever level I am. Now I go a little bit higher up the hill. So if I fall, why would I be yipol legamri? Why wouldn't I just fall a few steps back, but I'm still maintaining that growth that I had originally? So let's take this a little bit differently. When a person grows, whether it's you take a step, when I'm standing here, I think Baltan talks about this as well. A person is standing, they're standing on 2 feet, they have a low center of gravity, they're very stable. When a person takes a step, while they're taking a step, they're moving forward. On the other hand, they're really balanced, they're not even balanced well. They're on 1 foot as they're going. That would be the easiest for a person to push them off. A person's going on a ladder, they're standing with 2 feet. When they go up, they're all of a sudden on one foot, and while they're focused on upward momentum, they're the least stable. They're changing their center of gravity. Now, if you have let's say a person who is at one level. As a person grows, then they're capable of more, they're stronger, they're heavier. But if at each point in the growth process a person is unstable, right, then that means that it's true. On one hand, if they grow, it'll become exponential and they'll grow even stronger. On the other hand, if they fall, then they're falling entirely. They're falling off the top rung. They don't necessarily fall to the low rung. It could be they fall totally to the ground. Now, why should this be? Why should it be that they're falling from the top of the ladder all the way to the ground rather than they're just falling a few feet down the hill, down the slope? And there's a tremendous avoda being able to reinforce these things so that a person doesn't lose too much ground if they have a yirida. So let's take another example. A person is a five-year-old. The five-year-old has one level of emuna. A 10-year-old has another level of emuna. Now, let's say a person is a PhD, they're studying philosophy. On one hand, they can have a tremendously more deep appreciation philosophically for certain things, look into the Bria, understand how it comes together, understand philosophical proofs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe. They can understand how the entire Bria shows HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the fingerprint of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They can have a really much deeper sense of Emunah and Mamish, the same way that you look at a building, you look at a blueprint, and it's obvious to you that a very intelligent person created it, crafted it. You would never say that it's chas v'shalom an accident. It's obviously the design speaks to the designer, much more so than the person who's 5 years old. On the other hand, you have to be very smart to be a kaifer, to be an apikiris. This person who's delving into these philosophical proofs, into the sciences, this person could, Rahman al-San, chas v'shalom, also reinforce a kfir and an apikarsis and come up with a whole system of logic about how it's nature, not Hashem. On one hand, the younger child might have an emunah pshuta, that doesn't reach the nuance, the subtlety, the depth of a person with a lot more intelligence. On the other hand, if the five-year-old is, you know, not thinking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, they're not going to get into as many problems. So as a person grows, as a person becomes capable of more, they can go tremendous. But while a person is going through this, and there's this cycle of instability and growth, a person has to become very careful that in this period of a yirida, of nisayon, of instability, as they grow higher, that they could also be subject to a tremendous hefsid, and they could be yipol legamri chas v'shalom. This applies in an individual sense. This applies in a klalistic sense. He brings over here likutei halachas in erevei tchumen. He brings vayavo amalek ve'ilachem im yisrael berfidim, and the mefarshim tell us refidim that was. Rifyon Yadayim Sharafu Yadayim in Atairo, when they were in a period of Yerida, a period of Nisayon, that's when all of a sudden the negative forces, Vayavaya Malek, that's when there was a tremendous test to make them lose it all, Chas v'Shalom. It says, Va'ata Oyefi Ageya Vilo Yore Elikim. Yore Elikim, we said a few minutes ago, was Zebachinus Bereshis Yore Boishis Maimer Shalem. What does that mean? This is exactly this process. Va'ata oyef yegeya, before a person gets to Yare Elokim, before a person is going to get to Yare Baishas, to Bereshis, which is Nishma, Tfila, a person who works towards the next period of Nishma, which now they're going to integrate and incorporate into the Nasas, that they can go to the process again. In line with that process is first Ata Oyefi Egeya. First is the period of instability, of tiredness, of weariness, where they're going to be subject to a fall, Chas v'Shalom. The Oyev Yisrael, Parsha Shmais, explains that when a person comes back, b'kidei shebe'ez chazarosu l'madregas rishona, yichya gamkin az hanitzoitzin kadishin, that the nitzoitzis that a person picked up at the lower levels, he's going to bring those up to the level that he started off at. So a person is at a level 10, he wants to go to a level 15, so what does he do? First he goes down, and then he comes back up to the level where he was at before, and then he surpasses it. What does it mean? So I'm going to suggest in terms that I think are a little bit more relatable than the language of that he takes the Nitzaitzis and he brings that back up. let's say a person wants to grow. They're growing from a certain, like we said before, a certain place of success. They're already a senior in high school. They're a senior in college. They're going through a process, and whatever they want to accomplish after that is going to be based on their previous experience. Let's say a person they're learning Chumash. Let's say they want to learn Rashi. So the Rashi is going to be based on their understanding of Chumash. The deeper a person understands Chumash, if a person would go through the Chumash and they would be sensitive to the nuance in words and say, hey, what's mamish pshat in the words? Why is there an extra word here? Why is there a missing letter here? Why does it seem to be not grammatically correct? There's a problem. Something's not fitting. And now they learn a Rashi, not just who's just explaining, hey, this is what the pasuk means. But now Rashi's bringing a medrash. Hey, why is Rashi bringing a medrash? Rashi generally speaks about pshat in the pasuk. Oh, because pshat in the pasuk doesn't make sense if you read it straight through. There's something grammatically off about the pasuk. There's a missing word. There's something that even in the pshat of the words has to be inserted in order just for the words to push it make sense. Let me take a medrash over here, and the medrash is really going to be pshat in the pasuk. This must be what the pasuk, even on its face, is actually alluding to. The deeper that you have a sense at the first level, is the deeper and the higher, however you go, that you can have a sense of the next level. So if a person has only 5-year-old chumash and they come back to it every year, then they're really going to be limited in how much they can learn Mefarshim also, because they're only going to be building something on their understanding at the most basic level. What's the avoda? Now, I learned Chumash as a five years old or in fifth grade. If you would take the same psukim and you would introduce them to somebody who has a feel for language, somebody's 20, 25, 30, they have a very, very advanced in how they look at ancient texts, and now you show them the Chumash as somebody who has a PhD in looking at, and they text and they say, hey, there's something off about this. And then you show them the Rashi and they say, how did Rashi know that? Did Rashi have more of a PhD than I do? Rashi had a master's degree? I would have been omed on this problem. Rashi went and then they used this medrash that seems obscure and they answered up the problem and they're totally floored. You look at this Rishon, the Ramban. Did they have a degree in psychology? How did they understand that this is how people react? And then they put together Midrashim. The deeper you go at the earlier stages, then the higher that you can go at the later stages. But the problem is that where I'm standing, I'm already at the top of the pyramid. I went as far as I can go. I want to go higher. What do I have to do to go higher on the pyramid? I have to build a broader base. How do I build a broader base? I have to go down. I have to revisit those things that I already knew. If you take a person who's from birth and they do things in their life, they say Moda Ani and they say Kiddush and they put on tzitzis and they put on tefillin, and now they get involved in teaching or Kiruv, it's both the same and different, right? Either whether it's teaching kids or teaching advanced people, but just that have a more basic level education. And now they have to revisit things that they've been doing their entire life and they just never thought about it. A five-year-old can ask them a question that's the most basic thing and they just move past it without ever thinking about it. A person who's becoming from says, but why should that be so? And without dismissing the question, you really say, Taka, why did I never think about this question? Because I'm in the middle of doing it. And you have to go down deep. You have to revisit things. You have to start bringing people up. What you're doing is now you're going back down in levels. You're going back down to the bottom of your pyramid and you're building a stronger base. Once you build a stronger, wider base at the bottom, you can go higher than you ever did. And therefore, you're going to have, it has to be that there's a Yerida Kaidem Aliyah. You have to rebuild that base stronger. And I'll tell you, I said revisit a line. Ki Yerida hi tachlis aliyah l'likutei halachas nesias kapayim. He's going through the ideas in our Torah that the Yerida is l'tachlis aliyah. And the Yerida beforehand is the Bechinas of Azus Haguf, and a person has to break the Azus Haguf through Simcha, and Simcha is Nasa V'Nishma. So he goes through as we went through until a person gets to Azus to Kedusha, and then it's Meshaber, the Azus Haguf. Okay, in whatever way that we've been discussing it, but at the end he has a line. He says, okay, so you break down the Azus Haguf, how do you really get to the Nishma? I mean, this is just profound to me. I think that this is maybe what he means, but I'm suggesting. What does it mean to be mahapich? A person has a Yerida. We've said before, not my ha'ara, gamzu litayva. Objectively speaking, God forbid a person loses a job, a person doesn't get the shidduch, whatever it is, this is not good. Gamzu litova, I believe that if I go through this process, it will be for the good, it'll be part of something bigger and better, but right now it's not tova, it's litova, it's not tova yet. Person can have a muna and say it hurts. That is not against the muna. Intellectually, say gamzu l'tova. Right now, it's not tova. That's okay. I'm on the roller coaster. I'm upside down. I'm throwing up. I know that everything will be okay. It doesn't mean that a person's not allowed to vomit. They do what they have to do. We're holding on whatever level we're holding, and we try to grow. However, when a person now, they're in a corporate job, they're making X dollars a year. They get laid off, and due to sheer necessity, they start a business, and that business now makes them $10 million, okay? Profoundly more, unbelievable orders of magnitude. They're now their own boss, their own bialim, unbelievable. When they make a sudas hoda, do they now relate to Lou having lost their job? It's on the bad side of the page, knowing that everything will be okay or will be for the best. Or do they say, you know what? I never in a million years would have left a steady job. That was the best thing that ever happened to me. That transforms, it's mahapich. It goes to the good side of the page. When a person goes through this process, nishma, that's why it's not just the yirida koydem aliyah that it goes down before up. Ki a yirida hi tachlas aliyah. It actually becomes part of the same thing. It becomes part of the same process. As a person gets to nishma, now the Yerida is Tachlis Aliyah. The Yerida is part of the Aliyah. It's Mishapech. The Choshech is Mishapech until it's part of the process, so to speak, of the Ar itself. Yes, so even looking back, a person can understand that that was a different part of the process than the Ar, and they were relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a different way. However, looking back, a person understands that there's just as much of a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem was watching him as much, or perhaps even more. Sometimes the example that we've given is when a kid's riding along on training wheels and the father might be running behind the kid. When a person when the father takes the training wheels off, and now actually the degree of focus and the degree of watching out for the kid, where the father might be holding his hand maybe just a couple of inches under the seat in case it falls too much one way or the other that he can catch it, he might even be paying more attention to the kid, even though the kid feels that there's less of a shmir over there, that he's being held on to less, that there's just as much a Kadosh Baruch Hu, just as much avoda, just as much relationship, just as much ar, although a different type of ar in the Choshech as well. He mentions over here, Rabbi Atiyah, he says, and by a tzaddik, that the Yerida is through being Yoreid Lekarev Rechaikim. You know, perhaps we can say that, you know, certainly when you have a Rav who is engaged in his own learning and his own aliyah, and that Rav now goes, like we gave an example of chinuch, or, you know, whether it's fundraising, something outside of the yeshiva, but especially having to be yored to empathize, to be able to be makar v'chaikim, is a tremendous amount of so to speak, yerida into places and in different ways, and having to maybe hear different language sometimes. I mean, whatever it is, a person's going to be exposed to a much different array of things, which will grow them and make them much more flexible and grow them in ways they never imagined that they would have grown had they just stayed on the straight path. However, so he's explaining a comment that a person is a tzaddik, if they're Russia, so then maybe they had a fall, but a comment that a person is a tzaddik in their capacity as a tzaddik, why is there any room over there for Yerida? So this is one way that there's going to be a Yerida, Litzayr Chalia, like we said, broadening the bottom base of the pyramid in different ways. He talks about the Maisa of David with Bathsheba and the Maisa of Klal Yisrael with the Chet HaEgel. Elish and Nasna Hashem Yisbarach Lemichshol LeTayva Sa'olam. The Bir Likutim over here explains if David HaMelech or Klal Yisrael, from the point of view of David, David was a Melech also, but he was an individual. If David was not right for this Avera and Klal Yisrael was not right for that Avera, even though as we see it ended up being for a benefit, why were they punished? Why do we even call it a sin? And he explains that we say that it was a Michshol. They weren't right to be in that area where they should have even had that Michshol. However, he suggests over here the Bir Likutim Mafteach Tess, that that when the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted ideally they should be in this Nisayim, but should not have any of their own taiva or any of their own, you know, personal relationship with that Aveira. And he says, Ki miyad kishenageh b'zeh adam mitzad atzma v'taivaso v'lo misibas ha-hechrach levad yachshav zos l'chet v'oven mamish chas v'shalom. Okay, so he's coming to ask why it's a chet, or why there's punishment if they didn't put themselves in that situation. But let's stay closer to the point that we're saying. Why is it that David Melech or Klal Yisrael had to fall into these terrible situations, and ultimately that there was some sort of a michshol over there, and that there was an actual stumble over there? And he says, because David HaMelech had greatness ahead of him, and to bring greatness into the Bria, Klal Yisrael needed to grow to heights, and in order for that, because again, it's part of the process. This should give a person chizik. When a person does have a yerida, there's a process. Halavai, that we should relate to this process in the best way possible. And even if a person is in a dark spot, they should relate to it in a positive way, and it shouldn't affect them too much that they end up veering even farther off, that they should have the strength to be able to handle these difficult times and these challenges. However, there is a process built into the Bria where there's Yerilei Tzoreach Aliyah. We said in physical terms, the examples we gave, winding up for the pitch, that acts. We spoke about it in ruchniistic terms, and therefore we see that David HaMelech, what came into the Bria, the Tehillim that we have, that we're able to grow from, that we could tap into David HaMelech, the Yud Gimel Midas Rachmim that came into the Bria after the Chayta Egel, that we now use on Yom Kippur by Tachnun, that we have these Yud Gimel Midas on a fast day, that we have these Yud Gimel Midas in the Bria, that we now can relate to a Kodesh Baruch from the depths, that there's a Hechatimsa, that we can do tshuva and have access to these channels that were opened up in our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we never would have had. This tremendous Ha'ara that came into the world was only came in by virtue of these, of David HaMelech and of Klal Yisrael, who really represented the godless. The fact that over there was Yerida opened up a tremendous Aliyah that now Klal Yisrael has and that we can benefit from. And it was L'Toivas Ha'Olam, K'mo Sha'amar Rabbi Sein Zichrono Livracha, L'Hayrais Tshuva. L'yachid and to rabbim, in other words, that the yachid should have an avenue of tshuva by virtue of David having had this mice, although the Gemara says that everybody says David chata, he wasn't chaytei, but again, without going too deep into that specific mice, that David HaMelech l'maisa, that there was a milchshol for David HaMelech, and that to some degree we relate that there was a chayt, and we have kapitel nun aleph, this is the kapitel of tshuva, and David HaMelech spent his whole life doing tshuva, and his whole life in tefillah, and that now there could be a mokum for Aliyah, for Chaitim, and for Klal Yisrael as well. This is how we understand part of this process built in. And just Agav, I believe of Shimshon Fall Hirsch, says even, I think maybe he says in the third kapitel, but he says in, or fourth kapitel, he says in other places as well, that one of the rayas of the integrity of the MS of the Emunah of Torah is not whitewashing the gedolim. If a gadol is a malach, then we can't learn from them. They're a machine. They don't relate to us. Understanding this avoda through the lens and through the understanding, even though yes, we said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the michshol there, and we don't even understand the malachim, the tanoim, the amorayim, let alone David HaMelech. We can't say anything negative. But the idea of how the Torah frames things in the human element in something that we can relate to, it opens up avenues that we can get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That it's not something that's divorced from us. It's something that we can relate to, and we understand it through Chazal, through understanding the godless of the Kadmainim and the godless of the you can't even say people, but the Avis and the Shiftei Ka, through the personalities that we encounter in Tanakh and in and Vayter, but still Lemaisa, we relate to them in a way that we do have an attachment point to them, that we're able to have a vote from it. Then this HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it, these greats in the situation of a chait, so that we can have a relationship also with that aspect of avoda. Okay, unbelievable. We will Mir Tashem finish certainly to the Hashmatas, I hope, next time, and then they'd be able to come to the end of the Torah, and then start again. But Mir Tashem, go halavai vayter.